Hi there. My name's Ryan Bernstein, and this is 50 States of Mind, a cross-country journey to all 50 states to talk to mayors, governors, and voters on both sides of the aisle to figure out what's really going on in the United States. I'll be honest, when I started this trip, I wasn't optimistic about the state of our country, but after visiting our neighborhoods, towns, and communities, I've been given an exciting education that has allowed me to listen, challenge my preconceived notions, and taught me something new. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi, 50 States of Mind listeners. I miss you. Season 1 is wrapped and Season 2 is coming at the end of March. But before that happens, something pretty important is about to happen in 12 days. The Iowa caucus. I'm really excited about what's happened in the past few months since I launched this podcast. I've had people reaching out from all over the world. We have listeners in over 40 countries, in all 50 states, and people talking about the expectations they had of different places or different parts of America and the way they think about it now. And that's really what this podcast is all about. It's not about promoting a particular point of view. It's about giving all the information so we can make our own decisions and show how where we come from affects how we perceive things and our own biases. So hopefully this podcast will help fill in some of the blanks about the very important Iowa caucus. The Iowa caucus is the first in the nation contest to nominate a Democratic candidate for president in 2020, and it has huge implications. Expectations for the caucus are huge. When Barack Obama defied expectations and beat Hillary Clinton in Iowa in 2008, it set him on the path to the Democratic nomination. Caucuses are a very different beast from primaries. You stand up in front of your friends and neighbors in a gymnasium and you declare your support for a candidate by moving into different groups. But there are different rounds. You need 15% support to be viable. So after the first round, if a candidate isn't viable, there is a persuasion process where you are trying to get people to come into your camp for your candidate. And it is this sort of protean aspect of the caucus that makes it extremely hard to predict. You never know who's going to do well in the first round, or you never know if a Biden supporter is going to defect to Amy Klobuchar to make her viable. And that is why I decided to drive to Lamoni, Iowa. It's very close to Kansas City, about an hour and 45-minute drive, and just knock on people's doors to ask them about the caucus and fill in the holes in my education and the things I might not know. Lamoni, Iowa is a rural town of about 2,500 people. They have Graceland University there, they have a few hospitals, but it's a largely farming town right on the Missouri-Iowa border. And I just went up to people's doors and knocked. It was icy, so I did fall on my face a few times, but hopefully no one saw that. So I'm just going to play these in no particular order, the conversations I had in the living rooms, in the yards, and in the driveways of Lamoni, Iowa. Enjoy. This first couple, I stopped by their house. I saw an Amy Klobuchar for president sign in their front yard, and I knocked, and they had a really, really fascinating conversation with each other and also with me about the history of the caucus, what people may not understand about the caucus, and the historical implications of the caucus. And also we talked a little bit about what's dividing our nation and what it's going to take to come back together. These are my friends who I met in Lamoni, Iowa, who are supporting Amy Klobuchar. I came to your house because I saw a sign in the front yard for a candidate. Can you tell me who that candidate is?
That's Amy Klobuchar.
Amy Klobuchar.
No, okay, she's running for president of the United States, Democrat. She's in the top five, six candidates?
Five, I think, in Iowa.
Okay.
And we don't have a lot of hope that she's going to make it, but one of the things about the Iowa caucus, Jimmy Carter kind of made this, put us on the map for this reason. If somebody who is unexpected could come in even third place, if she could come in third place, my estimate would be that she would have a better chance at the next states, be able to get some fundraising. Mm-hmm. But if she only comes in fifth place in Iowa, then there's a pretty good chance she'll probably at some point drop out. But
so it has a lot to do with expectations, not just who wins the caucus.
Yeah, nobody expects her to come in first.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't expect her to come in third either. So if she came in third, all of a sudden people would say, "Whoa!"
Take notice.
They would take notice, and that would give her leverage to raise money and take it on to New Hampshire and Yeah. Typically what happens is once New Hampshire's over, everybody's dropping out if they don't have much of a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And but if somebody can beat expectations in those first few states, then that gives them the ability to carry on.
Okay. Well, I guess he's speaking a bit for himself. he's a caucus wonk. he loves to do this. And I kind of come along reluctantly. You know, I don't like the confusion of the caucus, but Amy is the first candidate that I felt it has a down-to-earth quality. Her stands, she's a Midwestern woman and acts a bit like the CEOs that I have known that are Midwestern women and has that style. Her policies tend to be more centrist, which appeals to me. There's a whole range of things that that they're talking about, different issues and such. I am not convinced that the president can push all of their agenda through. I've seen him.
No matter who the president
is. Whoever it is, they're not going to be able to push their agenda through. But to have someone who is honest and forthright, to me, in politics, is very rare. I mean, since the 80s, we've had actors, and she just seems like a real person. And I even like her Midwestern Minnesota accent. I mean, I've had Senator envy of Minnesota for quite some time, because we have Republicans that are kind of different.
My feeling is it doesn't really matter which of the Democrats. I'm just absolutely opposed to Trump. I'm worried that he's going to get reelected. I'm worried that the Russians are somehow going to play us and play with this. There's been some voter suppression that's been going on. So I don't care which of the Democrats get it. I don't even care if people that say, Amy Klobuchar is more reasonable about things like health care. But it doesn't bother me if Bernie was it, or Elizabeth Warren was it, because they say they're going to have Medicare for all doesn't mean they're really going to pull it off. They won't be able to pull it off, mm-hmm. but at least you'd have a voice that says everybody ought to be insured, and that voice will take us in that direction. I think Amy Klobuchar has a more reasonable position on that, but in truth, I don't think it's a problem with any of them. I think Joe Biden's a little bit old, but if he's the only one that can beat Trump, I certainly would welcome him. Even Bloomberg, or Tom Steyer. I'm not opposed to the billionaire that is trying to do good with their money and wants to help the poor and help the planet. And they are not Trump. And so, yeah. All billionaires are not equal.
Yeah.
And so I don't have a real problem with any of them that are still in the race or that are viable people in the race. So, but Klobuchar is the one that we'd like to. One of the things about a caucus is when you go into the caucus, they might say you have to have. A lot of people don't realize what a caucus versus a primary is.
Exactly.
In a caucus, you walk into a room, and at some point, people say, you're going to need, they'll figure it out. They'll do a calculation. They might say, for every 25 people, you will get a representative voice that gets to move to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So if Amy only has 23, then that means you do everything you can to convince two other people to come over.
Right.
Even
if they're in a Pete camp,
yeah.
or a Biden camp.
And they might, and the Pete camp might not even be big enough to have anybody. They might have 16 people there, and then they're told, you guys have to find someplace else to go or leave,
mm-hmm.
And they may join a group and say, we're the undecided group, and have, that's a possibility. But they may also find their way into other camps. So that's why that second choice is so important. But that's why your single vote can make such a big difference, because it can mean the difference between one vote or two votes, because it may take 30 people or 25 people just to get that one and 50 people to get two. And if enough of that is happening in all the little precincts in Iowa, somebody, you know, can be a surprise win. And Amy is the only one we've seen here in town.
She's the only one we've met. And her husband's been here a couple of times, several times too. You haven't asked the question, but I have a little bone to pick with the whole caucus thing, because it is complicated. And you, in order to feel like you're doing your job, you really have to be this outgoing, very kind of articulate person. That I really don't feel that way in a group, and to try to convince someone that they should. You know, I think I could do that more with Amy than I could with some others in there. Another thing that I have a problem is that if you are not able to be there at 6 p.m., you can't go. Well, that eliminated me most of my career, because I was in healthcare and I couldn't get home.
Of course,
And my daughter, who is in healthcare, is not going to be able to get home in time to go to the caucus. And I know of several others who are working, you know, like in various things, human services, restaurant, whatever, and they're not able to get there. And I would rather go someplace and put my vote.
Someday we may be a primary state, and once we're a primary state, then we will no longer be special. And not only that, once you just vote, you know, just like you do any other election, then it becomes more and more. You don't have the give and take that goes on that occurs, you know, because you generally walk up and you just vote and walk home. But in a caucus state, we're probably one of the last of the caucus states. I don't know how many there are. And the other one is that we're a small state, and because we're a small state, somebody like Amy Klobuchar can actually come to 99 counties, which is what Jimmy Carter did, that just blew everybody away, and they said, "Whoa, where'd this guy come from?" And so somebody that doesn't have a lot of money can get attention. They can use a strategy and try to say, okay, if I can come in top three in Iowa, that'll make a difference. If I can't, you know. If you didn't have that, and let's say California went first, there wouldn't be anybody trying to go to every county.
Right.
They would try to have a lot of coverage on the air. Donald Trump gets that coverage for free because of his, you know, his media experience. Bloomberg will get it. Bloomberg will never come to every little town in Iowa.
He's not even coming there.
He will hit the airwaves, and that's how, and even Tom Steyer. I'm okay with those guys, but because of the way their strategy is, we won't see anybody in a little small town like ours, which is fine, but the day may come that, if we got rid of all of this and we just said it's just one big popular vote across the country, then it would only be airwaves. You wouldn't see people shaking hands, or if they went anywhere, it would be the big cities. They go to Chicago and do the big rallies, which is what Trump does now anyway.
It's sort of an argument for the caucus, but also for the Electoral College, to make sure people show up and get to talk to people outside of the most populous cities.
Yeah.
Right. Much has been said about the Electoral College, and it was unfortunate the way it played out, in my way of thinking, but still the Electoral College does protect the rural areas, and that's why it was set up that way.
I have to admit, I don't know how I feel about the Electoral College. You know, the last time we've had Trump and we've had Bush, who did not get the popular vote. And it seems like one party is able to pull that off and the other party doesn't have their act together to be able to pull that off. It seems more and more unfair. And then when you get certain parties, the Republican Party gets in, and then they do the gerrymandering and put in the judges that they want, not just the Supreme Court judges, but all across the nation. You know, there's a lot of decisions that go against Democrats who want to have more fair divisions and avoid gerrymandering and things like that. So I don't see it as good times.
But another thing is that we tend to only listen to people that we agree with.
We no longer have the three broadcasts. You know, when I was growing up, you just had four stations. Well, now we have, because of technology, you now can have a magazine on any topic. You know, it's not Look and Life and People Magazine, but now you can have any specialty magazine because anybody can be a publisher. Anybody can start their own station. We got all kinds of cable. So people can choose to, they can choose their own newspaper. You know, they can create their own, you know, pick and choose what headlines they want to have on their daily brief and pick it from wherever they want to get it. So there is that.
I practiced alongside people whose political, I knew their political ideas were different, and they knew mine. I mean, they saw the Hillary Clinton sign on my front porch. They knew I was different, but there was respect. There was respect, and partly because they'd probably be in a two-man call group if I wasn't working in that. And they really liked me to be on call the first day of hunting season. But even now, I'm on the board of a district, the Southwestern Iowa Housing Authority, which is a HUD-funded organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one of 10 people, mostly women, that sit around the table that, you know, go over the finances and all this. From what I'm hearing, I think their political views are different from mine. But they're not against government, you know, as it sometimes gets thrown up like that in the national media. But we're able to work together because we listen to each other and we don't constantly, you know,
I've evolved a little bit on that point, and that is I realize now that if I vote for local Republicans, and sometimes I have a hard time not doing that because I know
they don't have any,
or there may not be, often there is nobody running against them, so you have no choice. But if you don't vote for the newbie Democrat, then you don't put people in the pipeline. But One other thing I would mention on the caucus. I don't particularly have a problem with Iowa not being first, but it would have to be another small state.
Mm-hmm.
Because by being a small state, it allows somebody who doesn't have a lot of money to be able to try to leverage that. You know, if California and other big, Texas went first, it would change everything. So it has to be a small state. Second, it needs to be a small state that does a caucus, because you already have a small state in New Hampshire that does a primary.
Mm-hmm. Last question for you. Do you have a sense who you think is going to win Iowa right now?
I sure don't.
I mean, if I were to say, okay, I'm a betting person, who would I bet on today? I might bet on Biden. But so many things can happen to change that. Same thing with Bernie and same thing with Warren.
Yeah, it seems like there often are surprises, like when Obama won in 2008, mm-hmm. That was kind of a surprise.
And so there's an example of how fast things can change.
A lot of moving parts.
And you just don't know until you get to the end of the caucus. You don't know. You just don't know. You don't know who's going to show up, who's going to be persuasive. My second choice is probably Elizabeth Warren. So if, you know, for some reason Amy Klobuchar doesn't, you know, then she would be it.
And they're both endorsed by the New York Times.
Yes.
So.
And that's another example. There's another thing that where something has happened that breathes a little life into, you know, and so you, in these little small towns where somebody might have said, well, I don't think Amy could win, but then all of a sudden they see that, they might say, I think I will caucus for her because mm-hmm. she came to our little town. Amy, really made an effort to get to all the towns.
Oh yeah, she really did.
And so she's really following the Jimmy Carter path.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll make a difference.
After that, I passed a woman who was getting out of the car with her kids, and I went up and asked her if she was planning on caucusing, and she said she was a first-time caucus goer. Here's that conversation. Can you talk about the issues that are most important to you in your community?
I think
I'm talking about this. It's ruined.
Sorry.
No, you're great.
Not necessarily in Lamoni. I think just in general, the reason why I'm caucusing for Bernie is because I like what he's talking about as far as free education for all.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that he's talking about equal pay for women. Currently, I'm in school. I'm back in school now for a second time for education. So soon I will be a teacher. And so it would be nice to be paid equally as to my counterparts.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm interested in. I guess that would be something in the community that's if I decide to stay here.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the issues that I'm interested in. Those are two main issues that drew me to caucus for Bernie.
And did you have any other choices that you were considering, or is Bernie sort of the main one?
I was on the fence for Biden. If Bernie wasn't in the race, I would have went for Biden. But I'm kind of like more of what Bernie has to say than what Biden does.
Yeah. And have you caucused before?
I haven't.
It's your first time caucusing?
My first time caucusing.
Congrats, that's awesome. After that, I talked to a woman who is a retired school teacher who said that she was supporting Elizabeth Warren and talked to me a little bit about her experiences with previous caucuses. She had been to three, and the implications of this caucus and this election on her community and for the country. Tell me what it's like to be the first in the nation.
You start getting all the campaign stuff. Seems like almost as soon as an election is over. I mean, it's at least 2 years.
Right.
And it's from everywhere. It's like basically all you see on TV. And you don't realize that people in the rest of the United States are not seeing all this because we're being targeted. And my daughter, Corey, I happened to buy her a Corey 2020 shirt. Her name is Corey.
Yeah, like Corey
so
Booker.
So for her birthday, I bought her a shirt, and she lives in western Nebraska, and she wore it to see friends or something, and they go, oh, yeah, that's really cool. They had no idea that was a cat. He was a candidate. She said, when you're from Iowa, you know what's going on.
Oh, no. Well,
and
now
that's kind of how you feel. It's like, I mean, you could ignore it, but, you know, you have an opportunity to pay attention and see what's going on. When you live in Iowa.
Right.
And then pretty much, I would say, after the caucus, it calms down a little bit. So that's good. But then, of course, you know how it's spring to summer before the election is, you start getting it all again. So they leave us for a while. But...
And then once it's swing state time, they all come back.
Right.
They all
so
come
I won't
back.
Be seeing people coming to my door by then, probably.
Yeah. Is this, do you caucus frequently, or is this one of your...
This will be the third time I've gone. I didn't do it before that. And I have actually been... thinking about it quite a bit, thinking about how different it is from a primary, because it's not secret. You know, you're at the place, and people see who you're for. And then, and everybody's always so nice about it, you know, because you're with the people you live with.
Yeah.
You know? But it's like, you know, sometimes they'll come over to your group and talk about, you know, say, well, why do you think this? Or did you ever consider this candidate? Or, you know, talk about it. And, you know, and then if you don't get enough votes for here, if you don't get a big enough percentage.
15%.
Yeah,
right, yeah,
for your candidate, then you have to go to one of the other candidates. And that's, it's just really interesting. It's a pain. It's a pain time of year.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah, I saw you have something on your door from someone else who's been here today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you guys are very popular right now.
Yeah.
Do you have a candidate that you're thinking of caucusing for?
I plan to caucus for Elizabeth Warren.
What was your decision process like getting to Elizabeth Warren?
I think she is very organized. It would be nice for a president to be organized. She's very organized, and I think she's a moral person. I think she's really smart. I think she... I'm a retired teacher, so I'm partial because she comes from a teaching background. Mm-hmm. And I know that when you're a teacher, you have to make decisions just constantly, you know, and you know, it's just the organization and the decision-making kinds of things that you make as a teacher are good for a president.
Yeah. And
last time, my whole family was sitting over on the Sanders side, and I was sitting on the Clinton side.
Really?
That was very weird. But, I mean, there were still plenty of people that, you know, friends and stuff that were on, you know, I didn't feel alone, but it was weird. It's like they're giving me the evil eye.
Do you have a feeling who you think is going to win the caucus based on what you've heard or the energy in the state?
I wouldn't be surprised if Sanders won it, but I think women are going to surprise people.
I do too.
I just have a lot of faith in that.
I then talked to a Trump supporter who said he was a major Trumper and was tired of the media going after Trump. All he wanted to do was help the country, and if the Democrats could win, maybe they could pass their agenda, but they can't win. And then he told me to go get warm. It was a nice conversation, but he didn't want to be recorded. I then passed a woman who was in her driveway getting in her car, and we had a brief conversation about why she will be supporting Bernie Sanders.
Can you tell me who you're planning on caucusing for?
I plan on caucusing for Bernie.
Is there good energy on the ground here for Bernie and Elizabeth?
I think so. On the college campus, there is both probably half-half Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, I'd say, but that's just a guess.
Okay. Have you caucused for Bernie before?
No.
First time?
Last time I really liked him, but I was convinced that I should vote for Hillary, which I regret now, but...
Okay.
This time I'm going to be with the revolution.
After that, I talked to a gentleman who had been going to the caucus for decades and explained to me why he would be supporting Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who I just realized looks a little bit like Chuck E. Cheese in the caucus. So we're sitting here in your lovely living room, and it's 13 days before the caucus. What was your process like in finding a candidate that you were going to caucus for?
Well, I'm caucusing for Mayor Pete Buttigieg. In looking over the candidates, I wanted to find a candidate that I felt was moderate in stance. One that I feel represented my Midwestern values of faith and bringing people together, being non-divisive, which I think is what's happening in Washington right now. As I see the impeachment of President Trump, I can see the divisiveness there. I supported Mayor Pete because I think he can listen to all views and find some logic in finding resolution to those. So I'm a staunch Democrat. I believe in the caucus process, although I think it can be improved. Mm. I think there needs to be some possible changes in the caucus process, one of which the weather in Iowa is problematic in terms of bringing people to possibly be at the caucus.
Especially elderly people who have to get out of their houses, shovel their driveways.
Yeah, like the caucus process in January and late January and early February is problematic in terms of weather in Iowa, or can be.
Mm-hmm.
The weather could be fine for caucus night, and I hope it is. But I think they need to review the caucus process in Iowa and maybe possibly rethink that.
So what does it feel like with the responsibility of being the first in the nation caucus? Is it something that you feel like your friends and neighbors take pretty seriously?
I believe Iowans take that very seriously. I know that there's been mentioned the fact that that Iowa doesn't represent the demographics that some candidates would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't argue with that point. Iowa doesn't necessarily represent the demographics that of the entire nation. I'm not sure that any state accurately represents the demographics that a particular candidate would want to see mm-hmm. in terms of their candidacy.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure there's an ideal way to define what that would be. But I think my impression is that Iowans are very serious about the process and very focused on what their responsibility is in going door to door and finding out what people's views are. I sense that there's a lot of undecided people right now in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They're still, even as late as we are right now towards the caucus, I think they're sensing that they're not sure what their opinion needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That's their right.
Yeah. And with so many candidates.
I would rather that someone that's going to caucus, sees all of the opportunities to see what the candidates are in favor of and make an informed decision on caucus night
mm-hmm.
rather than rush to judgment on who they want to support.
One last question. Can you sort of paint a picture for listeners of what it looks like on caucus night? Where do you show up? What does the process actually look like? What happens?
Well, for the Democrats, in the caucus process is going to happen at the Shaw Center in Graceland's campus. You align yourselves with a candidate that you feel you want to support,
mm-hmm.
and you have to have 15% for a candidate to be viable.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity if a candidate doesn't meet the viability standards. There's an opportunity to sway them to your candidate's stance, whether you want to support them or not. So, it's an interesting process.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's somewhat chaotic, but I think it's a fair process.
Right.
So.
And you gotta really take it seriously when you're standing in front of your friends and neighbors. Publicly,
you're publicly showing support for someone.
Mm-hmm.
You have the opportunity to change your mind at some point, even in that process, which is kind of unique.
Yeah, definitely,
it's very unique.
Yeah.
People see you there; they see where your support lies, and
mm-hmm.
and it's grassroots level. Work in terms of our government.
Yeah.
I like that.
I think it's great. Well, that's about it. I hope you learned something about Iowa. Of course, this is a small sample of the community, but I think it's really interesting to go and hear people's thoughts. I wasn't there to change people's minds because I know that people's minds are going to change when the caucus comes around regardless. From what it sounds like, people may go in thinking they're supporting a candidate at the caucus, but due to viability rules, round one, round two, a persuasive neighbor, it's all up in the air. So all we can do is sit back and allow the Iowans who take this very seriously to make their choice about who will be the best president of the United States. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And to connect with us further, go to 50statesofmind.org or follow us at 50statespod on Twitter and 5050statesofmind on Instagram. If you want to shoot us an email, our email address is 50statesofmindusa@gmail.com. Thanks again to Bright Moments for the theme music and associate producer Mike Layer. And the King's Hall grant for the generous donation and our sponsor, Gen M. See you next time.